This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
This week is about cheese curds and borrowing the neighbor kid's bicycle.
What's up, Red? Thanks for the bike.
This is a draft week edition of Danny and Dusty.
Brought to you by A&E Plumbing, Heating, and Air. Get $2,000 off a new energy efficient system now through May 31st. Call or visit aeheatingandcooling.com.
Excuse my Wisconsin mouth, but why the heck are you not drinking, for Christ's sake?
Draft week with Danny and Dusty on 1080 The Fan.
Hour number three here on a football Friday, Danny and Dusty. Whether you're listening on 1080 AM, watching along on YouTube.com/1080AM The Fan or Twitch.tv/1080AM The Fan. We appreciate you. We love you. Thank
love
you,
you
all so much for being a part of this every day here. The NFL draft, day one is in the books. Day two will kick off in 1 hour, 52 minutes, and 45 seconds. Shout out to the clock being back on.
Did I get that for the break. Day two?
Yeah, we're going to get the clock always. Always on the clock.
They should start running it in red for every minute after until Shadur gets picked.
A secondary clock.
Yeah.
Somewhere Jeff Austin is nodding along in agreement. Mm, I
yes,
like clocks.
Yes, yes, clocks.
When you get out of the first round, what are your favorite picks and fits?
There were a bunch, man.
Up and down that first round.
Yeah, and a lot of them, they don't sit at the very top. I only have two that I really like, was like, yeah, love that pick near the top. And one of them was Cleveland, which traded down, and you trade out of two, you get some capital in return from Jacksonville, which was desperate. You get a first rounder for next year and you still get a position of need where you get Mason Graham at five. Michigan interior defensive lineman. He can collapse a pocket from the inside and he's a space eater, takes up two guys. And that to me is they're doing something right in Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
They and now you have the first and third picks of the second round to go along with it. That's a savvy move by the Cleveland Browns. The other one I like is the Ashton Jeanty in the top 10 and him going at six to Vegas. Now you have a little bit of protection for Geno Smith, mm-hmm. right? You got Jacoby Myers, who's okay. Good, not great. Brock Bowers, but now you're going to keep the interior of the defense in the front seven a little bit more honest when you have a run game
mm-hmm.
and you have a dominant back. They desperately need it because Pete Carroll is your head coach. Chip Kelly is your offensive coordinator.
Mm-hmm.
Running the football is at the forefront of what both of those coaches' identities are because Pete Carroll wants to protect his defense. Chip Kelly wants to have the ability to run the ball to open everything else up mm-hmm. in his passing game. And it takes a little bit of the heat off of Brock Bowers, whether you have him in line or in the slot, because you have a dominant running back that's going to be attracting attention with his eyes. I like that pick.
Mm-hmm.
I also like, you know, Colston Loveland at 10 to Chicago mm-hmm. because Ben Johnson now has the ability to go 12 personnel with Cole Kmet and Colston Loveland. Like, Loveland was their offense when they played
mm-hmm.
Oregon. And there's a lot of people that are out there saying that Oregon made Ashton Jeanty money because mm-hmm. you look at the competition, it was that game in Autzen Stadium week two and then the college football playoff. Those are the two games that they could honestly evaluate the competition that Ashton Jeanty was playing against, and he was outstanding.
Cooked.
Colston Loveland is getting that same kind of treatment, mm-hmm. but it was Oregon, Ohio State, right? Those two games were the ones that were like, dude has it. When they don't have a quarterback that can throw the ball and he's still finding ways to create yards and keep the ball moving, he likes to play in line, but he's not a phenomenal blocker right mm-hmm. now, but can get it done. Like, that is... it's going to be perfect. And Ben Johnson kind of hit the nail on the head when he said he reminds me of Sam Laporta a lot. that is a scary proposition for everybody else in the NFL now that you have Caleb Williams, Roma Dunze, DJ Moore, and now Cole Kmet and Colston Loveland.
It definitely puts you in a bind defensively when you're matching up with that team. Obviously, selfishly, Ashton Jeanty was the guy that I wanted the Raiders to take, and for the second year in a row, I'm thrilled. Brock Bowers last year, Ashton Jeanty this year. I wanted and I hoped that Jeanty would have won the Heisman. I thought he was the best player in college football this year. And there's just something about him that just feels special. And I've a few texts on the text line and on the YouTube chat. Yes, I did buy the Ashton Jeanty jersey last night. I said if they drafted him, I would buy my first jersey in 20 years. For those wondering, they wait until he selects his number and then they send the jersey to you with the correct number.
Not the number one.
Yeah, not the number one. But he'll probably wear number two, I would imagine.
I like that.
Yeah,
I like that.
I love the fit. They took the best player available. It's the right path that I think they're getting on. You went tight end with Colston Loveland. I was surprised he was the first tight end off the board, but the second tight end taken, the fit there with Tyler Warren and the Colts is the one that I really like.
Yeah, Shane Steichen as the head coach and play caller. Until they get a quarterback, it doesn't matter.
You're not wrong.
Because he is not going to help you in the run game. That's one thing Tyler Warren is. He's more of a slot and an H-back.
Yeah. He's very similar to Dallas Clark when it comes to like all of his measurables.
Yeah.
It's actually incredibly close.
Yeah. He's a gamer, though.
Yeah. He's
a gamer.
What he did to USC was disgusting. And they lined him up everywhere.
Yeah. And that it will be, he's got to have a creative mind on the offensive side. I think Steichen can get it done. He's fast, but he's not quick. And how that translates, I think that's one of the things that is going to be interesting for translation into the NFL is what does that look like? He's smart as hell. He gets open. Mm-hmm. And he'll put you in a bind based off of the matchups that he'll be able to create in the slot, because it's a really tough spot. You want to put a corner on him because he's just going to muscle him. Mm-hmm. You want to put a linebacker on him because then that opens up your run game, and it is a definite signal for your coverage that you're going to be running. So he's a matchup problem, and that could be really good for Indy. But the ones that I really liked in that first round, they were further down in the draft. And Malachi Starks is with Baltimore. Everybody's like, how does Baltimore keep stealing guys? Well, it's because they do a really damn good of drafting.
Mm-hmm.
And
they know who they are.
When you continually draft well and you continually hit, then all of a sudden you're taking the best available player.
Mm-hmm.
And because everybody else had holes to fill in their roster, they couldn't take a Malachi Starks. Falls down to Baltimore, and all of a sudden they get even stronger on the defensive side of the ball. That's a home run. And if you're wondering why they have afforded the ability to do it, it's because they do a really damn good job of drafting.
And in that same vein, Jahad Campbell going to the Eagles.
That was the weirdest trade, but it comes down to Howie Roseman and Andy Reid being friends and the fact that they said, hey, who you taking? They were like, we're going to go O-line. They said, all right, if somebody calls you and wants to move up to get Campbell, let us know. And that's how that deal gets done. Somebody called, Andy Reid said, hey, by the way, somebody wants to do it. You want to swap or we're going to take this deal because we want to get something in return.
Yeah.
They end up getting it for a pretty good deal. You swap one pick, they get Jahad Campbell, and they're set at linebacker with a little bit more depth because N'Kobe Dean's injury meant a lot for them last year in the playoffs. And that is a good one for Arizona. He was on my list. I also like Walter Nolan, the Ole Miss defensive tackle to Arizona.
Mm.
Because when you think they've gone offense, trying to support Kyler Murray, you've got to build up the interior of your defensive line. You have a defensive-minded head coach. You have got to be able to collapse the interior. Walter Nolan is a space eater, man. I think he's like 330 pounds.
Big old boy.
He is a big old boy that is athletic, and he lived up to the hype when he was at Ole Miss. I love that pick. But there's two on here that – and then Derek Carmen, we already talked about him. I think that's a great fit. And fit-wise, that's one of my favorite picks. There were two other ones that I absolutely loved. Tampa getting Emeka Egbuka is phenomenal because they're saying now it has nothing to do with Chris Godwin's recovery timeline. Sure, whatever. Mm-hmm. But now you have Mike Evans, who's aging out of the league, pretty
still
good aging
really good.
Out at 1,000-yard season. You have Mike Evans, Jalen McMillan, who had a mm-hmm. really good year last year. You also have Chris Godwin, and now you add Emeka Egbuka, who, thinking of fit in running the underneath stuff mm-hmm. in that offense with Baker Mayfield, the running backs with Rashad White and Bucky Irving, that offense is damn loaded mm-hmm. in Tampa right
it's
now.
It's a lot of weapons.
And you have a defensive mind where you know your defense under Todd Bowles is going to be good.
And in that vein, the team that I hate, the Denver Broncos. I like the selection of Jahdae Barron, and it kind of goes into the teams drafting for need as opposed to just going, why not just get better at the thing that we do? We're a really good defense.
Yeah, good luck throwing the ball against Denver this year. And you're playing a division with Patrick Mahomes and Justin Herbert.
Yeah, and as I was like, that's a really good pick. Like, I really like the fit there.
The last one for me is Maxwell Harrison, the corner out of Kentucky.
Yeah, I'm sad about that one.
Why?
Because the Raiders need a corner.
Oh, he wasn't going to be there.
I know.
But Maxwell Harrison is a really good corner, but he is an elite vibes guy.
Mm-hmm.
Elite vibes guy. Did you see him in the green room?
Yes.
Every single guy that got drafted, he was genuinely excited for them. His speech after, he was just so happy mm-hmm. to just be a part of the NFL now. I love Maxwell Harrison. I am so on board with that move for Buffalo, and they're going to need it, man, because they're bugaboo giving up chunk plays mm-hmm. at the ends of big games. They needed to revamp their back end of their defense. This is a two-year process for them. That's a great move for Buffalo to get him.
Yeah, now they've got two guys that they can go into man coverage with and not go, oh, crap.
Yep.
Which is a difficult place to be. So, all right, let's forecast a little bit for day number two, because we've got some draft odds, thoughts, and notes as far as how things are lining up and heating up for day two of the NFL draft here on Danny and Dusty, 1080 The Fan. Now and then, day two of the NFL draft will resume here in, or I should say, day two of the NFL draft will kick off here in an hour and 37 minutes and 15 seconds. And we haven't talked about it for most of the show, but now it's probably the point where we have to at least mention it. Shedeur Sanders, still available, and you said you had him as the betting favorite to go to the Browns at -450?
Yeah, that's where it is right now. No, -400 to the Browns, which is 1-4 odds, and then 4-5 to, and the Browns, by the way, have the first and third picks of the second round.
First and fourth.
Fourth.
So two of the first four picks in the second round.
Then you have the Raiders at 5-1, Saints 7-1, Jets 9-1. Rams 9-1. Remember, by the way, the Jets are one of the teams that Dion had said he does not want Shador to go to, or Travis Hunter. Either one of them.
You and I played the game and we looked at the second round. If right now the news brokers are saying the favorites to go after Shador are the Raiders and Steelers.
Yeah.
Now, the Steelers do not have a second-round pick.
They do not.
So they would either need to trade with the Browns, who have two,
mm-hmm.
or with the Raiders.
Doubt that the Browns in the AFC North are going to be doing business with their counterpart and saying, you know what? We'll give you a quarterback. You need one? We'll give you one. Most important position on the field. Yeah, we'll do that for you. So that would probably be the Raiders. I don't see the Steelers being able to work up. But, look, if the Browns don't take him, I don't know where he ends up, because Lindsay Theory is now reporting. She is in front of the Saints war room. And for ESPN, she is saying the people that she's talking to in New Orleans who pick 40th, the eighth pick of the mm-hmm. second round, they ain't in on Shedeur Sanders.
And she's probably getting a lot of background here. That's the whole point of setting up at those spots.
So you have the Browns and then maybe the Raiders, but
the dark horse that we talked about in here, potentially Seattle?
Yeah, that'd be a shock.
It would be. But again, we're talking about like what team, because when you look at the list and you guys kind of get through, the Bears have two picks. The Bears could maybe be a team that trades out of a spot.
Yeah,
I could
see. Yeah, they have 39 and 41.
They're right next to each other. You could see them trading out of one of those to maybe get some more capital and continue building. I could see that happening. But then you start working your way down the list and you go, there's nobody here that needs a quarterback and then other than Seattle, you could be looking at, or the Rams.
I don't know if Sean McVay would be high on Shador. It doesn't feel like he is.
The current mock, or I should say the consensus mock, has Jalen Milroe going to the Rams.
Oh. And remember, Seahawks have two picks, by the way. That should be noted.
That's why we brought Seattle up, is that, hey, if he's here, but if he gets past 52, he's not going to be a second-round quarterback.
Yeah.
Unless somebody trades in.
Somebody will trade. I think somebody will trade in at that point. But, look, I have a feeling he'll go early.
We shouldn't
outthink this. Quarterback is a need of the Cleveland Browns. They know it. We know it. And they need to be cheap on it. It'll be the Cleveland Browns in one of those first four picks of the second round. But the way it's also interesting, though, the way that the first round broke, because of the fact that guys like Will Campbell or Will Johnson, he went fourth. Will Johnson, the Michigan corner, bad medicals on his knee, missed the back quarter of the season with knee. He's still on the board. Mm-hmm. Mike Green, character stuff popping up.
The intel on him apparently is atrocious.
The edge rusher out of Marshall, remember him from the Senior Bowl. He twisted up Josh Connerly and it went viral.
All right, we're good.
And then said, deuces, I'm out. Nick Emanwori, the safety out of South Carolina, projected first round pick. He's still available. There's a lot of guys that you look at and you say, boy, just overall prospects, you're going to take some flyers on these guys because their talent is through the roof.
Yeah, Luther Burden, who at one point in time was thought of as being the wide receiver one in this class.
There's a lot of really good wide receivers, and a lot of these teams also need wide receivers, including the Cleveland Browns, who need wide receiver help. Mm-hmm. You know, then you have Essery, the tackle out of Minnesota. Dude is a monster
combine.
He is still on the board and available. Then Travion Henderson, back out. Like, there's really damn good players.
Both Ohio State running backs are projected to go in the second round.
And so that is where it goes to these teams that are in line there. They have needs that they need to fill immediately. When does Shador Sanders become that guy? But two picks in the top four, Cleveland.
And as it pertains to some of the local ties.
Which I don't think that's where Deion probably wanted him to go.
Probably not. Jordan Burch projected to go to the Green Bay Packers. Won't have to change the colors in his closet.
Look, this is a day where you could see a couple of ducks. You could see max of four. But I'd be surprised if you saw more than two. Because you got Terrence Ferguson, tight end, he could go off the board at some time today because it is the second and the third rounds that are today. Jordan Burch is going to be one of those guys that he will come off the board. And then maybe at the end of the day, and it's a big maybe, some people have had Tez mocked in the third round and Jeffrey Bassa mocked in the third round. But those guys, more likely than not, will be Saturday guys. But you could see you'll see one today. Maybe most likely you'll see two Oregon players come off the board in Terrence Ferguson and Jordan Burch.
And as it pertains to former Oregon Duck Justin Herbert, they get their running back, Hey-o. Which was a bit of a surprise, at least. Omari Hampton's a great player.
I like that move.
I was a little surprised they went running back, though. I guess with both Loveland and Warren gone. Yeah.
For Jim Harbaugh to truly fall in love with. Tyler Warren would have been great with Jim Harbaugh because he's a former quarterback, and he'd be like, oh, you're living my dream.
Yeah.
Let's drink some milk.
But they have the Chargers in the second round taking Jalen Noel, the wide receiver from Iowa State, which I think that's a pretty hand-in-glove fit.
I like that move. Another guy who would be great for Herbert to have. He needs weapons. He needs targets on the outside. Ladd McConkey probably needs it more than Justin Herbert does, just because of the attention that McConkey's got at the back end of the season. And he was still able to get open and scheme him open. But they need help in that receiver room. And I think one of the great things about Amarion Hampton, you can have back out and have a guy who's a viable receiver coming out of the backfield. But wide receiver help is going to be huge for them in LA. So I would love that move of getting Noel.
And that's the thing is with Noel, the one thing you're still lacking, though, is if you did take him with Ladd McConkey, your wide receiver room, you're still relying on Quentin to be your size.
Yeah.
And that's a little dicey.
Yeah.
But also, if you look at the draft, there's not a lot of, outside of Tedrick McMillan, there just wasn't a lot of size in this wide receiver
class. Think of Greg Roman, though. In his, you have the other Iowa State receiver Hughes, yes. Though. He, Jaden Hughes is, 6'4"?
Yeah.
He's a big dude. Don't think that he'll probably be there.
No.
For L.A. But you think of Greg Roman's offense, and remember what were the big criticisms of Lamar Jackson, right? Pushing the ball down the field, the inability to get guys open downfield. A lot of that stuff was underneath and throwing the underneath stuff. With McConkey and Jalen Noel, you would have the ability to dominate the underneath. And that's what you want. Mesh is going to be what they're going to bread and butter on. You have two little twitchy guys that can get that underneath. That would be fun to watch. Also, I'll be very interested to see where Kyle Williams goes, the wide receiver out of Washington State. Mm-hmm. I love him. I absolutely love Kyle Williams. I think wherever he goes, he is going to be successful. But if he gets the right fit, he's going to be a guy that pops in a big way. He's a big play threat. You can go over the top with him. I love it when he has the ball in his hands.
All right, coming up next, it's Friday afternoon. It's 2:30, which means it's time for Jeff Russ or America's favorite game show. And here's the Big Kahuna himself with the Sports Center update.
You ever had a Big Kahuna burger?
It's Friday afternoon. It's 2:30, which means it's time for Jeff Russ or America's favorite game show, where Jeff Russ hits us with anything he wants to across the board, and we decide this or that. What do you got, Jeff Russ?
So the first round of the NFL draft in our rearview mirror, a big trade as the Browns were on the clock at number 2 with the Jaguars trading up from number 5. Jacksonville then drafts Travis Hunter, while Cleveland takes at Michigan defensive tackle Mason Graham. The Raiders then get their man at number 6, Boise State running back Ashton Jeanty. The right move for the Jaguars should have stayed at 5 and taken Jeanty.
Ooh.
I think they gave up too much to move up to get Travis Hunter, and it feels more gadgety than anything else. Disgustingly, I don't want them to take Ashton Jeanty, but I think it would have behooved them to stay put.
No, they needed to help out Trevor Lawrence, and they felt like Travis Hunter was going to be that guy. I've said this all along. I don't think Travis Hunter is the best receiver in the draft. Mm-hmm. I don't think he's the best corner in the draft. But he's really damn good at both. Mm-hmm. He's top 3 at both. And so they said, we want the transcendent athlete. They got him. They overpaid for him. They should have stayed at 5.
They're going to sell jerseys.
They sell a lot of jerseys.
They sell a lot of Travis Hunter jerseys.
We saw the odds increasing throughout the day yesterday that Jackson Dart was becoming the favorite to be the second quarterback selected. That came to fruition with the Giants swapping with the Texans to take Dart 25th. Shedeur Sanders falling all the way out of the first round. The first 5 picks of the second round belong to the Browns, Texans, Titans, Browns again, and then the Raiders. The Browns have previously been linked to Sanders. The Texans and Titans don't need to draft a quarterback, so it might come down to the Browns and Raiders for his services. So let's set the over-under for number of picks into the second round where Shedeur gets drafted at 4.5. Under. Are you taking the over?
Or
under.
Under. Under, under, under.
So you get that with the Browns, that second pick?
It's going to be the Browns, or somebody's going to trade up with the Browns to come and get him in the top 4.
I'm going to go over.
Ooh.
I'm going to take the over. And either the Raiders take him or he plummets.
Yeah. Yeah. And look, everybody's going to say conspiracy in the NFL. Look, remember that they're going to be like, they colluded against Shedeur Sanders. Remember, the Sanders camp was vocal throughout all of last season.
He's a top 5 pick. About tweet off to start the show.
Teams not even wasting their time because he's going to be gone. They also made this bet. So could it be a bunch of teams? Because usually some NFL teams will be like, dude, I bet you won't come here. And they would still take him. there may be
talent
a little
is
bit
talent is talent.
Of a few NFL teams being like, dude, screw that.
Sure.
They didn't want us to talk to him before. Why should we draft him now? This is going to be a nightmare for us. Now that his stock has slid and he's not where he wants to be, now he's willing to come here.
Yeah, now there's some desperation.
That's not the guy we want leading our organization. Yeah. So it's a little bit of both here.
Yeah.
The Seahawks take North Dakota State offensive guard Gray Zabel with the 18th pick. Asked on a conference call what he plans to do now, he replied, quote, "Man, I'm probably going to start diving into these Busch Lights." And he added, "High alert for Pierre, South Dakota. We're going to have fun and enjoy this tonight." The Zabel household ran out of beer nary 90 minutes later with his brother tweeting at Busch Beer for help. No word on if that worked out. So the Seahawks have drafted their next Hall of Famer.
I'll go with the first. Yeah. They've drafted their first next Hall of Famer.
Did you see what the bio on him was leading into that? What he did in the offseason?
No.
He bought or rented his first farmland, 250 acres.
Hell yeah.
Corn, soybeans, and other. So he majored in agribusiness. This man is a literal corn-fed O-lineman from the prairie.
Yeah, I think there is somebody asked him about putting on weight, and he said squats and steak. I think that's a great game plan.
I love being an offensive lineman.
Yeah. The offensive lineman culture is pervasive today.
Yes.
From Gray Zabel to Will Campbell saying he'd fight and die.
Tyler Booker
saying he wants to just take the joy of football out of
the
people.
The love out of their eyes.
I love that. This is great. Oh, wait, hold on. I do have an update on the Zabel Busch Light.
Oh.
3 hours ago, Busch Beer. Check your DMs.
Yeah.
to Peyton Zabel on the tweet.
Very nice.
They said, check your DMs.
That's fantastic.
The truck is en route.
Yes. With the Grizzlies giving up a 29-point lead after losing Ja Morant to injury, the Thunder have a 3-0 series lead. Can we just call it over now? OKC. OKC would get the winner of Clippers Nuggets. LA currently leading that series 2-1. Who is the bigger problem for the Thunder, the Clippers
or
the Nuggets?
Clippers. Like, don't get me wrong, Jokic is the best player on the planet, but the way you tax OKC is having multiple options, because if you funnel it down to one or two, it's a problem. If you make that whole Thunder defense be engaged, that's how you can beat them. And they have the ability to beat you up inside. They have the ability to shoot you out from three. They have multiple creators, and if Kawhi Leonard's going to Terminator, that's a problem.
Yeah, I think to quote Kevin Durant, yeah, you can have all the chemistry and play together all you want, but who's guarding Kawhi?
Yeah.
When Kawhi is in mutant mode,
there's nothing you can do with him.
Nothing. Nothing.
Don't look now.
I won't.
But the Mariners start the day tied with the Rangers at the top of the AL West at 14-11.
Dude, they've been all hater, bro.
You might want to sit down for this one. Seattle has scored more runs than any American League team except for the Yankees and Red Sox.
I am already sitting down, so this has not affected me.
Well, this is, maybe for the listeners out there. Mm-hmm. Have the Mariners maybe finally figured out some semblance of offense?
Or
fool's gold.
I'm going to go with fool's gold because what's their record?
14-11.
14-11.
Okay. How far above 54% are we?
We are at 56%.
Okay. No.
All right.
Because that pitching staff's still really good.
Their run differential with what you just said.
Plus four.
Ta-da!
Well, they're going to figure it out.
Their first four starters have been playing great. It's that number five with Emerson Hancock and when they had the Luis F. Castillo and that five spot is not great.
It's been not great, Bob. I'm going to go with fool's gold. I'm going to go fool's gold on this one. They are playing really damn good baseball, though. We've seen this story before.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen this story before. If I'm a Mariners fan, though, I am cautiously optimistic.
It's better than not being positive.
Scoring runs is way better than anything you've had in years past.
Yeah.
Be happy about that.
As an aside, have you seen where the Cubs are at? Plus 43.
Yeah, well, they're just manhandling
good
teams.
Good gravy.
Yeah. They've scored 163 runs this year, the Cubs have.
That's a lot.
They've played 26 games.
Yeah. That's a lot. All right, well, that's all I got.
Hey, nice. You know what? All you got was pretty damn good today, Rust.
Aw.
So just number one, great job, Jeff Rust. As a comparison, the Colorado Rockies, the lowest scoring team in baseball, 77 runs. They are a minus 59 on the season. That is some sad sack stuff. God, I feel sorry for that. Any fan of that organization. It's bad. It's very, very bad. All right, let's wrap up today's show. You're going to be busy this weekend.
Yeah, dude.
The Oregon Ducks, they're going to have their spring game. You're going to be down there.
I will be. And it's going to be a great, exciting day tomorrow because you got top 15 baseball matchup,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, Oregon State.
Oh, baby.
Let's wrap up today's show with that. Here, coming up next on Danny and Dusty, Danny the Fan. Before we get out of here, you are heading down to the Huge for the Oregon Ducks spring game. And what we got going on tonight?
Well, it's an actual spring football game. They're going to actually have it going on, which is now a rarity in the world of college football. I saw that Tulsa had to cancel theirs today because of inclement weather. I've been keeping an eye on all the weather. Seems like no rain tomorrow. Fingers crossed. Knock on...
Never rains down in Austin.
Knock on wood. But it's a big day just because you have spring game, then you have the Oregon State baseball game coming up right
top
after.
15.
It's awesome series that's going to be underway. It's everything you could want from the two local schools going head to head on a baseball diamond. It's going to be right across the walkway, not even the street, the walkway between Autzen and PK Park. But tomorrow, it's going to be right here on the Fan. 1 o'clock is when it all get underway. And look, there's a lot of new faces at Oregon.
That's the big takeaway for me is that over the last couple of years, you've had Bo Nix, you've had Dylan Gabriel, you knew who the face of the program was going to be. This is the opportunity for that guy to make their mark.
Yeah, there's also been the question marks, though, with Dylan Gabriel, right? Like, how's he going to fit with the system?
Sure.
You know, who are his targets going to be? Because last year it was like, all right, well, is Tez going to be that guy without Troy Franklin and Bo Nix alongside him? You know, what was the offensive line going to look like without Jackson Powers Johnson up front? And there's a lot of turnover, and this is the new world of college football. You're able to reload through the portal. Dante Moore and Austin Novosad kind of going head-to-head in this quarterback battle. That's going to be the fun one to watch. And the way they split these teams up, it's going to be split up equally. I wouldn't make any sweeping decisions on the offensive line based on what you see tomorrow because they do split them up half and half.
Mix and match.
But the quarterbacks are going to be split up, and I think that it's going to be fun to watch those guys play. And, you know, one is going to step up and kind of take the reins of the program, and I think you're probably going to see that tomorrow because they also split up the receiving core, which, look, Tez is gone, Trayshawn Holden gone, Terrence Ferguson out the door, Patrick Herbert is no longer a Duck anymore, and that's kind of weird to think that there's no Herberts in the program anymore because it's been a really long time with them in there. But when you think of Evan Stewart returning this year, DeCorian Moore, the number one receiver in the country, a name and a face to watch for tomorrow. He is exciting and he is electric, lives up to all the hype that everybody's heard. But then Gary Bryant Jr. has been taking strides. I know it was going around on social media the other day. I was at the scrimmage where Dante Moore dropped a dime to Gary Bryant Jr. on one of the very first plays, and he went 60-plus yards, you know, and it was like he was shot out of a cannon. Malik Benson, the Florida State and Alabama transfer. You know, there are guys that in Jeremiah McClellan, special.
Yeah.
Special. They got weapons outside. And then you have Jamari Johnson, the Louisville transfer, to go alongside Kenyon Sadiq and Roger Saliapaga. Look, the weapons are there. What I'm looking for is quarterback play elevating. Who are going to be the game breakers? What that running back room that is absolutely loaded looks like? And then on the defensive side of the ball, which corners are going to step up? They got 21 defensive backs. They are long. They are athletic. And that's going to be a fun thing for me to watch. And then former USC Trojan Bear Alexander in the middle on the defensive line, too.
And you can catch that here on the Fan.
You can watch, yep, hear it right here on the Fan. I think it's on the Big Ten Network as well tomorrow. All right, that does it for us this week. Day two of the NFL draft starts in an hour and 5 minutes from now. Coming up next, you got 4 hours of power from their mouths to your ears. It's prime time with Buck, Schultze, and Ortner on this Friday. Have a great weekend, everybody. See you Monday from noon to 3.
Bye.
They got a sausage in one hand and a cigarette in the other, and they're just going to town.
No, 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 no.
Calamity.